We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's MOOD.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to mood.com. That's MOOD.com to get started.
Command in motion. Williams drifting, sprinting for space, in all kinds of trouble, putting it up for grabs in the end zone. He got it! For the touchdown! They've done it again! From the 48, deep drop, Williams. He's got time. Shot downfield in trouble. Is intercepted by Cam Curl. Curl goes over, makes the play. And the Rams have it back. Mavis from 42 online. And it's good. And the Los Angeles Rams go to the championship game.
Pre-game, and you said, I'm used to these elements. This is backyard football. What was it like in that moment?
Shoot, that's why we do it, man. That's why we do it.
Is that what you want it to come down to?
Yeah, I mean, preferably this guy gets in the end zone, but, you know, if it has to come down to me, I'll be ready for my moment.
This is the Zabe Cast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! And with that, the Bears' magical season comes to an end. The Lucky Horseshoe falls out as Harrison Meavis, the thicker kicker, one of the great all-time nicknames ever, with the dagger in frozen deep overtime in Chicago. Welcome to the Zabe Cast on a Monday, January 19, 2026. Happy Martin Luther King Day. We are here for you. What a weekend. We had a controversial thriller in overtime. We had a complete slaughterhouse game. We had a dud of a game with an awful performance by CJ Stroud. And then we had this thriller on Sunday night. For more on this, I got a call. This person who just texted me as the game went final, saying that was truly the most exciting football game I have ever seen. Wow.
Hello. Wow.
Hello, Mom. How are you doing?
Oh, I haven't calmed down. I hate Chicago.
I hate Chicago. Is that just because of me, your son, having Packers tie-in now?
The football, I just hate the fans in Chicago because I was at a national baseball game when they lost and didn't get to go to the World Series that year. And there was two rows in front of us, and we were downtown in D.C. that were Chicago fans, and they were so rude and so obnoxious.
Cub fans.
It was not even funny. They were so bad.
Yeah.
I left before I knew they were going to lose the game, the baseball game, and I said to your father, let's go. I can't be here when the game's over with those obnoxious people.
Whoa. So this was the clinching game en route to the World Series for the Nats, and you left early with Dad that game?
Yes, because we knew they were going to lose. And we weren't going to go to the World Series.
And you missed them actually winning, and they went to the World Series.
No, that was a different year, I think.
Oh, okay. So this, all right. And the Cub fans were just obnoxious, huh?
Oh, they were horrible.
Okay.
They would never sit down, and a couple of people said, you know, can you sit down? And they said, what kind of bitching fans are you that you don't stand up for the whole game? They were awful.
Yeah,
they're
awful. Trash. Yeah, they're Illinois. They're Illinois trash, Mom. You know them well. And you know them well.
I did. And so, therefore, I couldn't bear to stay there until the game was over. I said, and we walked around. We were still in the stadium on our way out. You know how
Nats Park
Nats Field is. And it's like, no, can't do it.
That was the 2017 NLDS. It was not the championship series, so it was the first round. And the Cubs won game 5 on October 12th of 2017. 3-2 was your, or 9-8 was the game 5 result. Can you turn the TV down, Mom? I'm sorry. It's probably picking up very acutely in your hearing aids. Are you talking to me via your hearing aids?
Well, you're talking to me. I'm listening through my hearing aids. I turned the TV off.
Okay, perfect.
I don't want to see that announcer who was so prejudiced.
All right. Let's establish a few things. One, Chicago fans, straight trash. Got it. You and Dad, AL theory, good. As I recall, that was an exceptionally cold weather night that you and Dad went to that game.
Yeah, I don't remember those.
Or was there a different? Or was there a different one that was quite cold? I seem to remember Jimmy, my brother, hooked you guys up with tickets, and it was a cold night. And I was like, I don't know how Mom and Dad are going to do in October baseball when it's cold.
Yeah, I don't remember the weather. Those people were so rude. You didn't.
So you carry that over to hating the Bear fans, and the Bears look like they were going to pull one out of their ass, Mom, with that Caleb Williams touchdown. How did you feel when you saw that?
I just thought, oh my God. First of all, I thought, oh my God. And then you stop and realize it was the most incredible cast, in the whole world. He shouldn't have anyway, but I really was feeling defeated at that point. I thought, oh no, they're not going to make it. And then of course the overtime and Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
The NFL's a hell of a product. So we had two really good games and then two kind of duds. Did you watch all four games?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
The worst one was
Texans Patriots. One earlier today with CJ Stroud, the Texans quarterback, throwing four interceptions.
Right. Yeah, that was not pretty.
Yes.
Although, I mean, I didn't feel one way or another. Well, I guess I don't like Texas to win either because of the Cowboys, but I don't have any grudge like I do against Chicago.
All right.
So that was sweet, really. And this game, at least it's only 10 o'clock, quarter after 10.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
the
nice.
Other ones were so late, I had to stay up till midnight. And then one night I fell asleep before the game was over.
Well, luckily you're retired and you don't have to wake up early in the morning. So might as well
That's
stay up late
true.
At night.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the announcers. You texted me. Who was the announcer, not the play-by-play, but the color guy who's very prejudiced in favor of Chicago? That's Chris Collinsworth, Mom.
Oh, I know what he looks like.
Yeah,
you
think
say he...
You think he was homering it for the Bears?
I think so.
Hmm.
I think he spent more time praising different plays and different players on the Bears side of the game more than he did to L.A. And I don't usually feel any of the other ones showed their prejudice.
Yeah, they were more down the middle.
They really are, and that's what they're supposed to be,
well,
in my opinion.
Here's the thing. Collinsworth really gasses up quarterbacks that he likes, and so I think
he's
taken a real liking to Caleb Williams, so he's been really gassing him up. Now, Caleb Williams is from here. He's from D.C. You know that.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he played high school at Dematha in the Catholic League.
Oh, wow. He is good. I'll give you that.
He is. Now, do you know this? He paints his fingernails.
No, I didn't know it, but I don't care.
He also has that mouthpiece. He also has that mouthpiece that he never fully puts in his mouth, and it's the dumbest thing ever. Do you see the shots of him? He's got a mouthpiece, and he's always chewing it off to the side. And I'm thinking, okay, ding dong, if you get hit hard, that mouthpiece is meant to prevent, A, concussions, B, you biting your tongue in half.
I know. What about there's somebody that's got the letter V on their tooth?
Oh, my God. On their
tooth? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. But, you know, a number of these players like to accessorize, Mom, with something called grills, which is diamond-encrusted fake dental pieces.
Well, there was one. There is one, and I'm not sure it's Chicago or wherever, but it's the letter V.
Mm.
I didn't realize. I just thought it was some letter, but then it looked about like V, and I thought, victory, they put it there.
Maybe.
Yeah, but they tattoo themselves up too. I mean,
these are guys. A lot of these guys like ink. You know, even a lot of the black guys where the ink doesn't show very well, they still get a ton of tattoos. And if that's what they like, great. So,
I just would like to be around when they're 80 years old and they have flabby skin. You know how awful that's going to look?
Well, you know, luckily, Mom, the life expectancy of former NFL players is not 80.
Not 86.
No. They won't get there. So how come you never bought me any grills? When I was a kid.
They didn't have grills when you were a kid.
Sure they did. Did you ask our dentist? Just Dr. Planica, our dentist? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Yeah? You could have got me grills for my 12th birthday.
Well, sorry. I must have given you some redskin uniform or something.
I know. All right.
Something. But,
well, all right. So we got.
Also, one more thing. I can't really remember another year where the playoffs, all of these games were all this good.
Well, there was only two out of four that were this good this weekend. But the two that were good were really, really good. And I hate to break it to you, but it's almost always this way in the playoffs. The NFL has this incredible product that seems to always come down to the last play or two. And right. It's an exciting game, which has a lot of different outcomes you wouldn't ever expect.
I know. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, for sure. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And how about the poor quarterback for the Broncos who broke his ankle?
I know.
Third to last play.
Yeah. Now what's he going to do?
He's out for the year, so they've got a backup that's not very good. But, you know, maybe he'll have one game. That's the game of his life. You never know. That's why I watch. So,
that's right.
All right, so we got Denver, New England. Who are you rooting for, Broncos or Patriots?
Broncos.
Okay. And then we've got the Rams and the Seahawks. Who are you rooting for?
Oof. I should maybe say the Rams because they were so good tonight, although I think the Seahawks are a better team.
Okay. They are probably a way better team. And yeah. Do you know about their quarterback, Sam Darnold?
Yeah, he played at USC when Alyssa was there.
Yes, your niece went to USC.
And my granddaughter.
Niece, your granddaughter.
Right.
But he was highly drafted, like number one.
He didn't do very well.
Yeah, and he sucked with the Jets. He sucked with Carolina. He kind of rehabbed himself with the Niners, and then he went to Minnesota and was great. And because he had two bad games, Mom, at the end of last year, Minnesota said, "Nah, we're not going to pay any money. See you later." And he goes to Seattle and has an even better year and could be going to the Super Bowl.
I know.
What a great story that is.
It is a very great story.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Alyssa follows it, because when she was there and he was there, you know, they were hot as could be. And football, I mean, I'm sure USC is always a hot football team, but that seems to me that it was even, you know, more exciting for the students there. Yeah. I know some of these people.
Remember my backup school that I was going to choose besides UC Santa Barbara? You visited with me. ASU was one, but remember USC as well.
Oh, USC, yeah. Until you got up to Santa Barbara and there was the beach and all these kids on bikes and just having a grand old time.
Yeah. Even though I think Alyssa liked USC, when I saw UC Santa Barbara, it wasn't hard. It was like beach or Watts.
Right.
Beach or Watts. What do I want?
USC, that neighborhood, when we were there, it's not like that. They've really cleaned it up.
It's gotten better.
Much better when Alyssa was there. And we didn't even finish the tour of Santa Barbara. We were halfway through it, and you know, remember what you told me?
I do not remember.
You said we don't need to do the rest of the tour. Just go pay the money.
I said that.
Yeah, you said that. I said, are you sure? And you said, yep. I said, okay. And then we never did
pay the money, or did you wait to think, you know, I'm not sure my son is fully committed to this. Let's slow walk it. We don't need to pay the money right now.
No, you don't pay it right there anyway. But I'm coming here. But that's the term you use. Yeah. We can just pay the money. Yeah. Beautiful school. Yeah.
All right. So give us your pick. Seahawks are -2.5 over the Rams.
I can't. I guess I would probably say the Seahawks.
All right. How about we tease the Seahawks down to a pick 'em, Mom, and then we'll tie that with the Patriots -4.5 at the Broncos.
I don't understand all that betting thing, minus or plus.
Don't worry. Just send me a check for $1,000 and I'll put the bet
and
in.
You spend my money.
And then when we win, I'll give you your cut.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, Mom. I got to go to bed because I'm actually doing the morning shift on JFK tomorrow. So I got to sleep fast and wake up early on a holiday Monday, okay?
Are you doing those from home?
No, tomorrow I'm going in. So a little hour drive into the heart of D.C.
Oh, okay. Well, at 9:30?
No, 6 to 10. 6 to 10 a.m. tomorrow. You won't be up. You're past your bedtime now. It's 10:27.
Yeah, but when I wake up, I'll wake up before 10. But what a lucky morning to be on the radio.
Well, holy moly. Yeah, but nobody's going to be listening because it's a federal holiday, so... But that's fine.
Well,
yeah,
that's fine. They might listen, you know.
All right.
Anyway, it was a fun night, and I'm glad I've got you to talk to about it.
Yeah, you don't need to listen to me on the radio. Just call me for any radio show you want. I'll do one for you personally.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, Mom. Love you.
Have a good sleep.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye now.
Okay. Good night.
There you go. All right. So there you go. My mom, God bless her, does not like Chris Collinsworth. Somehow, deeply, that warms my heart. So, the throw by Caleb Williams, fourth and whatever it was, facing imminent defeat, backpedaling straight backwards, and then just plants and heaves it, and Cole Kmet, the forgotten tight end, the other guy, because Loveland was hurt, just kind of doesn't push off his much smaller DB. At first, because you couldn't see it the way the camera was panning, I was screaming at the DB going, "What are you doing?" And then I saw how he was locked up with Kmet, much smaller, and he just kind of got a little bit off balance when Kmet disengaged and the ball was right there. Hell of a play. That's why I tweeted, well, I guess it's their year. And then when the thicker kicker did what he did, I said, and then it wasn't their year. Womp, womp. This outcome saved a lot of Packer fans and those who hate Bear fans one shit ton of grief for the following week. And it's almost like Sean McVay wanted to throw the game because he wouldn't run it. It's ice ass cold. Stafford through three quarters had 31 squeezes. I mean, what? You've got a great running game. You got two great backs. Grind it out. And of course, early in the game, YOLO Ben Johnson says, "I'm going for it on fourth down." Gives up a field goal instead. And Collinsworth is like, "Yeah, you know, that makes sense because you can't beat the Rams with field goals." Then as the game bogs down into a frozen stalemate of sorts, trench warfare, like the Battle of the Bulge, the thinking was, oh shit, I could use some field goals right now. They'd come in real handy, wouldn't they? Hell of a game, though. Great theater. Good season for the Bears. I'll tip my cap there. But man, they had some lucky-ass plays and lucky-ass comebacks. So, season is over, Rams are going on to Seattle, and it's the third installment of this year's trilogy in the NFC West. We'll see whether or not Sam Darnold's oblique muscle holds up nicely. I want to add a few things. Andy Poland's going to join us here in just a second, but I want to add a few things more from the just completed or from the Texans versus Patriots game that Andy and I talked right as it went final. So I hadn't really absorbed all the stuff that was coming out. I knew that, obviously, C.J. Stroud had an ass game. Total ass game. And I know that people are like, why is he still in there? You had Davis Mills for a stretch this year, and he was distinctly non-awful. Give it a shot. But DeMeco Ryans afterwards said, he's our guy. He was our number two overall pick. We believe in him. We knew he could play better in the second half, and he did, said DeMeco Ryans. DeMeco Ryans also had one of the most cowardly punts anyone's ever seen. On a 4th-and-4, I think it was, down 2 scores with about 5 minutes to go. Yeah. I don't know if it was 4th-and-4, but the Texans punted on 4th down. Down 2 possessions, elimination game, 4 minutes to go. That's giving up. It's truly unbelievable. And the whole C.J. Stroud thing, he is a guy trying to find the equivalent of the Seinfeld model bar in that episode where Costanza stumbles into this secret bar in a back alley and it's all super hot women. And he has the time of his night, time of his life, and he goes back and tells Jerry about it. We got to go find it. Goes back to try to find it, can't find the model bar. I mean, that's C.J. Stroud. He's trying to find his rookie year, and it's getting worse and getting worse. Some of the four, I'd say one of the four picks, not his fault. Deflection right off the receiver's hands. He hit him in the hands, should have caught it. Another one was awful, where he's got a defender that opens up right in front of his face, a yard in front of him. He's got nobody open, and he just rears back and yeet, throws the ball. Idiotic. And the other two, I mean, they're interceptions. And he can't make excuses about the weather or the snow or the rain or it's slippery or it's this or it's that. I mean, you can make excuses. Of course, if you want excuses, the guy to make excuses is one Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark is so shamelessly in the tank for him. It's just unbelievable. And part of it is they share an agent, David Mulligetta. Something that ought to be up on the screen on ESPN whenever he talks about C.J. Stroud. The memes are flying fast and furious. Somebody photoshopped Whoopi Goldberg underneath Caleb Stroud's wonderful braided locks in a Texans uniform with shoulder pads. Son of a bitch. That meme goes hard. Another tweet from Afterpay Poppy. C.J. Stroud is the best defense in the world and he's regressed to Charlie Batch. Charlie Batch, former Lions journeyman, said, "How'd I catch a stray in this? LOL." Brian LaLima says, "This was the easiest path to the Super Bowl for the Houston Texans they'll ever have. Number one defense, no Mahomes, no Jackson, no Allen, no Burrow. Broncos starting backup quarterback in the AFC title game. And C.J. Stroud out here throwing five INTs with five fumbles in two games in the playoffs. Unbelievable." Another tweet from Biased Houston. "The most infuriating part of this is that if C.J. Stroud and the Texans and their offense, all they had to do was not be the worst offense in NFL history, and the defense would have carried us to the Super Bowl. The bar was below the depths of hell, and we still couldn't hit it." A lot of people pointing out that C.J. Stroud threw a pass so inaccurate that it blew out his tight end's knee. And the video is pretty brutal about that as well. A tweet from Cole Thompson, "Pay him whatever he wants, hashtag Texans. Will Anderson Jr. is worth every penny." Battle Red Texans follows up with, "And while you're at it, don't give CJ a dime. Horrible effort, horrible leadership, horrible attitude, horrible decision-making. I'm done making excuses for it." People also were quick to bring up the whole exchange he had with, by the way, Cade Stover was the tight end who blew out his knee on the inaccurate pass from C.J. Stroud. And I know that it's football. Errant passes happen and knees blow out on their own schedule, or they blow out if you're near an electrical substation. People also brought out the NFL films mic'd up, the rookie year for Caleb Williams in which he was struggling. C.J. Stroud in his second year after he'd had his bomb rookie year, made sure after a game after he beat the Bears and Caleb to go give him some encouragement. He pulled the big bro on little bro Caleb Williams, and Caleb did not take it well, facially at least. Here was the exchange in case you forgot it.
Yeah. Hey, keep going. Stop taking those hits. Learn from those mistakes. And everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep. All right, boy. Appreciate it.
For sure.
Hey, man, stop taking those hits. Hey, yo, no, come here. Listen to me. Man, the balls on this guy. So, yes, they have got a huge question on their hands in Houston, which many fans think it's not a question at all, that you cannot sign his extension, that he's reversed straight backwards into a bottom five quarterback in the league for reasons that I don't know if anyone knows. But do you sign up for more of him? Being a first-round pick, you're going to have to pick up that fifth-year option pretty soon, and it's not going to be cheap. Troy Aikman went in there and was pretty gentle about it all told. Here's what he said as Stroud was sucking the biggest suck ever.
But I will say this, Joe. DeMeco Ryans and Nick Caserio, they've got some tough decisions they've got to make about this team on the offensive side of the ball. You know, they replaced Bobby Slowick last year after his 2 years as the offensive coordinator. C.J. Stroud has been chasing his rookie success for the last 2 years. He's not been the same player. We've not seen the development from him. There's a reason for that, and it has to be addressed.
Here's Bryant. Passes too high and off his hands. It's fourth down. Yeah, you bring up a great point. I mean, his rookie year was as good a rookie year as you can have in the NFL in 2023. But the last 2 years have been okay, not great. And here tonight, now, if his hands hurt, that's one thing. But he missed some open throws here tonight, turned the ball over a lot again, which is what he did in Pittsburgh. This was not a good performance.
Well, 7 turnovers in the 2 playoff games. So your most important games of the year, you just can't overcome that kind of quarterback play.
They shut this one.
I'm going to pull a don't make me tap the sign. Injuries, weather. All this stuff, my hand hurts, ouchy, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that, I lost a receiver. Excuses. Nobody wants to hear it. I'm tapping the sign. It doesn't count. If you're out there playing, you are assumed to be at full capacity. And if you have a great game despite those injuries, guess what? You're now legend. But you're out there playing. You don't just get to go, oh, my pinky finger hurt. Which I don't think Stroud has complained about, for the record. But the announcers are kind of trying to make excuses for him. So, yeah. Also, this was amazing. The Texans were the underdog in this game, and it was not at home. So what are the odds that 5 ESPN panelists would have all picked against the Patriots in this game? Well, it happened.
At our picks in this one, I gotta say, I was surprised. We are all.
No way.
No way. Oh, no, 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 no.
I know. Once the gong is in, it's fine.
What?
None of y'all took New England.
No. Lydell got my paper wrong.
Mina's gone.
Lydell, did you get my paper?
Mina,
it says right here.
Now, who knows? This could have been a made-for-TV stunt because they got a 5 box of Hannah Storm, the lovely and talented Hannah Storm, in the middle. Ryan Clark, douchebag that he is, along with Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, and Swaggy P, Marcus Spears. Swaggy P? No. Big Swaggy? And so it might have been set up for TV. Part of me says, no, they all genuinely thought that they were going to win the game. Womp. Womp, womp. I'm trying to find, there's a clip you got to hear of, oh yeah, here you go. This is Ryan Clark at halftime.
Take him in a room and say, CJ, where are you right now? Be honest with me. Because if not, Davis Mills will have to be
you,
the guy.
You are not having that conversation with CJ Stroud. The second half has legit ramifications on whether or not CJ Stroud is the quarterback for the Houston Texans going forward. 3 years in a row, C.J. Stroud's gotten you to this game. This is the year you feel like you have the players around him to win it. There's no Nico Collins. There's no Dalton Schultz. There's no run game. They put everything on this young man's shoulders. Give him 30 minutes to show you that he's the guy you drafted second overall. He's the guy that's brought you here and that he's the dude that can take you in the future. He's playing for it all right now. Whether if it's his mind, if it's physical, if it's decisions, if it's bad throws, you got to let him go out and show you this is who he is.
And that's what DeMeco Ryans did. He hoped he would play better. He hoped he would find it in the second half, even though there was no indication that he would. What's the saying? You can hope, you can wish with your left hand and shit in your right hand and see which one fills up faster. That's basically the strategy. I think this line, though, from Clark makes informs as to how sometimes coaches think.
With CJ Stroud, the second half has legit ramifications on whether or not CJ Stroud is the quarterback for the Houston Texans going forward.
Okay, stop. No, it doesn't. Meaning, whether he was benched for Davis Mills or played and was bad, they're going to give it one more go with him next year. So coaches get all freaked out about, oh my God, if I bench him, I'm going to have to answer questions about where do you stand? Who's your starter? Who's going to start next week? And what you should really do is just say, I don't give a shit. We needed a change at quarterback. And luckily we got a great backup and we somehow rallied to win the game and we're on to Denver and we're looking forward for a chance to go to the Super Bowl and we'll tell you who our starter is on Tuesday. That's all they would have to do. But these coaches get very, very spooked. Stroud becomes the first player since Kerry Collins in the 2000 Super Bowl to complete under 43% of his passes and throw four picks, became the first player to ever have five interceptions and five fumbles in a single postseason. It was really, really bad. As for the Patriots, a lot of people are bummed about how easy a road they've had, not only in the regular season, but now in the postseason. And I get it, but you can only play who's on the schedule. You can only play whatever the bracket, which is not a bracket, feeds you in January. Also, it's amazing what the Patriots have done since the Steelers last won a playoff game. Andrew Filippone on Twitter says, since the Steelers' last playoff win, the Patriots have won a Super Bowl trailing 28-3, lost a Super Bowl to Nick Foles, won a Super Bowl giving up just 3 points, forced Brady out, drafted Mac Jones, fired Bill Belichick, hired Gerard Mayo, drafted Drake May, hired Vrabel, and they're now back in the AFC Championship and may go to the Super Bowl. Unbelievable. Jason McIntyre, we went from a legendary run of the AFC title game, Mahomes versus Allen, Mahomes versus Lamar, Mahomes versus Burrow, Burrow again, Mahomes versus Allen. Now we've got Drake May versus Jared Stidham. Gross, uninspiring. I don't think Drake May is gross. Stidham, who knows? We'll see if he can deal. Patriots have more takeaways in the three quarters, five, than the Jets defense had the entire season. Is that right? Jesus. It's unbelievable. Skip Bayless, the combined records of every team in the Patriots that they beat in the regular season was 85-150. 85-150. Now their path to a Super Bowl has been Justin Herbert, continual choker, CJ Stroud, awful, and Jared Stidham, and very possibly Sam Darnold once they get to the title game, easiest road ever. Again, the road is the road. NFL Plus tweets, every AFC championship game since 2011 has featured either the Patriots or the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the first time in 15 years we won't get either one. I don't know about you. I'm watching. I will watch that game. All right, let me take a break here. On the other side, Andy Polin will join me with more from the controversial ending in Denver and his thoughts on catch, no catch, replay, and the NCAA College Football Championship, which is tonight. You are listening to the Zabecast.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
From New York, The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. This is Ed McMahon, along with Tommy Newsom and the NBC Orchestra, inviting you to join Johnny and his guests, Truman Capote, Robert Klein, Tammy Grimes, and World Heavyweight Champion Joe Frazier. And now, here's Johnny.
I just had to use the vintage Tonight Show open, and Andy, I'm guessing you remember when it was from New York. And they didn't even have Doc Severinsen as the band leader.
Well, they may have had Doc Severinsen because Tommy Newsom was always the fill-in. So Doc may have been off.
Oh, look at you. The big brain on you.
But you can pinpoint the time because Joe Frazier was heavyweight champion March 8th, 1971. That lasted until 73. The Tonight Show moved from New York to L.A. in 72. So that's somewhere between March of 71 and, you know, somewhere 72. It was a very narrow window when you have Joe Frazier as the heavyweight champion and the show is from New York.
Okay. What a banger lineup, though, of guests. Truman Capote, noted American novelist and screenwriter. Who else was on that rundown?
Frazier, and it was somebody else, I forget.
Somebody else.
But yeah, there wasn't, again, there were only a couple of talk shows. And I think he was up against like Joey Bishop, who was getting nobody. Merv Griffin may have been in there at some point with the late night show, but he had no competition. He was the king.
Boy, oh boy. And now we're down to one NFL game left for the weekend. We record this one. We're slipping it in between the two games on Sunday. The first one was an absolute snooze fest. I did take a nap in the middle of it. I woke up to find that C.J. Stroud was neither any better than when I had last left him en route to four interceptions. Just a dog shit game. Many people saying, why didn't they at least try long neck Davis Mills? What are your
Yeah, and I heard Troy Aikman towards the end of the game say something about C.J. Stroud and a hand injury. So if he's playing hurt,
even
why
more
don't you know?
You would think, what like in today's NFL, and I know it was wet and snowy and everything else, and I know his finger might have been hurt, and I know that he doesn't like being outside in the cold. There was an interview somebody pulled a quote from in which he was asked, what two rule changes would you make to the NFL? And he said, I think every team that's in a cold weather city needs to have a dome. So his mindset is already soft. But usually in today's NFL, coaches don't let you get to a fourth interception. Am I wrong?
Right. Yeah, it could be, you know, a confidence thing. But the problem, I guess, is if you pull them and you win the game, who do you start the following week? Of course, that's not a bad problem to have. But, you know, I don't know what
problem we won the game.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. You're not wrong. And that's how coaches sometimes think. They are so fearful of having to navigate any little mini controversy. They don't seem to have the confidence to be able to say, you know what? We'll figure it out. Or I'll tell you on Tuesday, but thank God we won this game. We're playing for a trip to the Super Bowl. Hallelujah. I don't think Davis Mills would have been much better per se. But when you have a defense like Houston and a quarterback who is willing to YOLO it for four picks, including a pick six, on a 20 for 47 night, woof, you're not going to win that way.
I'd get to the end of the first half and I'm thinking, God, this looks like a New England blowout. It was 14-10.
I know.
As bad as Houston was playing, the defense was keeping them in the game.
It was close, but it didn't feel close. Does that make any sense?
Right. But the fact of the matter is, when it's 14-10, and Houston maybe can get their act together in the second half, run the ball. You go up 17-14, maybe your defense can find a way to hold on for you.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the mother of all officiating controversies. This play is going to be one of those plays talked about by us for a long time as sports fans, media members. What did you think? Was it an interception or a catch?
Well, it should have been either a catch or an incompletion. I don't think it should have been an interception.
Well, can't be an incomplete. Ball never touched the ground.
Okay, yeah, but
what
do
you,
I don't know.
What would you have preferred it to be? Let me put it that way to you.
Well, I thought it should have been a catch.
Okay.
I did.
Right. Here's what's crazy is that Gene Steratore himself put out a poll on Twitter saying, all right, what do you guys think? And it was 76% said catch.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, I think the biggest shame by the league was that they just try to go, okay, let's keep moving here. That they'll look at the spot of a first down in the first quarter for 5 minutes. And then on this, they're like, yeah, no, let's just not look at this too close.
Right.
And well, that's what Sean McDermott was the most pissed off about.
First 5 minutes, though, you got the coach's challenge. This was inside of 2 minutes, so it's up to the league. You don't have a coach's challenge at that point. I think the way they ought to do it is the way they do it in college. Everything is subject to review, and that's how the game is officiated.
Okay, but that wouldn't solve it here because they said, did you see Walt Anderson was on NFL Network this morning?
I saw a tweet about that, yeah.
Okay.
And he said he wanted to move it along or something like that.
No, not so much, but I mean, good for Mooch and good for Colleen Wolf for grilling him. Let me go ahead and get this up here, and I'll play the video for you guys. I did mark the time, 3:26. I need to punch in a 3:26. Okay. And then let me just hit share screen and share. Oh, come on. Sorry about that. How was your Sunday, by the way?
Sunday was good. I watched Maryland win, and I saw that, Diggy Coit didn't get the record that Ernie Graham holds.
There you go. That was basketball. All right. Here is Mr. Walt Anderson, NFL, I guess, senior officiating managerial retired. Walt Anderson's the bent needle guy from Deflate. Yeah.
Okay, but is he the what's his name? The new
supervisor of officials?
Yeah.
Hold on. I think Walt Anderson, yeah. NFL. I'll look up what his actual title is.
I think he is the supervisor of officials.
Yeah.
I think he's the new Dean Blandino.
He is just an NFL rules analyst. Just what he's billed as, NFL rules analyst. Mr. Bent Needle himself brought a bag of bent needles to the Deflategate game. And then, you know, it was like, these balls are out of whack. Okay, here we go. Take a listen to this.
Well, I thought maybe that's the knee was the third part of that catch and constituted a catch. Let's talk about Carl Sheffers because he's
Coach, that's a good point. That's a good point because a lot of people think with the knee, but if he had already established himself as a runner, say he was upright, he got the catch process is over. If you're a runner and then you go to the ground while you're contacted, the knee puts you down by contact,
okay,
but not in the process of making a catch.
Carl Sheffers is a good one. He's been around a long time. I was just hoping, I'm just a fan watching this game along with millions of people. Why didn't he explain this then and explain it to the coach? Go under the hood and be thorough like we see time and time again in such a big game like this.
Sean
McDermott had to take a timeout just to say, can we look at this thing a little bit closer?
You know, that happens quite a bit, Coach, but again, you have to realize every play behind the scenes is being reviewed by multiple people. They're looking at all these angles. And part of the guidelines that the league has established is when replay, you have a ruling on the field, and when replay has all of these angles to take a look and see, was the ruling on the field wrong or was the ruling on the field correct? And if you can confirm that the ruling on the field was correct, they really want to move the game along, and they don't want to have unnecessary stoppages.
Okay, then. Hargle bargle, I call bullshit. What's there for you?
Unnecessary stoppages. Give me a break. I mean, this is a game that's coming down to the wire, and we can't waste time on what could be the pivotal play of the season for the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
No,
right.
I buy that.
Mike Florio wrote ProFootballTalk.com. We've been saying for years that there should be public access to the replay review process, whether during quick looks or full-blown reviews. We need to see what they're seeing and hear what they're saying. The current process, as Kyle Brandt said earlier in the show, feels Orwellian. That was the risk of exporting replay review from the stadium where the referee made the decisions to the league office. At the time, they were led to believe that Dean Blandino would be making all the replay review decisions, and maybe he would have been if he hadn't left for Fox, because as Blandino later said, the NFL doesn't properly value the position, meaning he wasn't getting paid enough money, and he got more to go to Fox. Now there's apparently no one person whose name is on the decision.
Well, really?
Finding that with zero transparency creates natural curiosity regarding how and why such an important decision was made and why it all seemed to be so rushed.
Yeah.
Great
point. Is it possible the league actually likes this, that the day after we're still talking about this game?
I don't know if they like it. I don't think they care. I don't think they worry about it damaging their brand per se. I don't know if they like it. I also don't think that the league had their finger on the scale for Denver.
No.
I think the league would have preferred Josh Allen and the Bills, right? As a better story.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. The biggest problem is that, you know, to me in sports, you want one referee, one crew chief doing the best job he can that he makes the calls. And therefore, you know, one of the things was, remember when they said, okay, we're just going to get review for a couple things. And we'll let the ref, the crew chief on the field, go take a look at it in case there's a better camera angle, and he can then fix their mistakes. And what did we find out happened? They stopped fixing their mistakes so often because they're humans. They don't like admitting they fucked up, right?
Yeah.
So that became suboptimal. They're like, well, we'll let New York handle it.
Yeah. But the call, look, the call on the field stood. That's one of the big things here. You know,
the call on the field is bullshit, is what it is. It's just
the call
on the field is treated as gospel when in fact it is actually a naked eye guess, the first guess at what happened on the play. Now,
but that's the way you would like it. You don't want the replay at all.
I would, because then we get rid of all this bullshit and you do the best job with your own eyes. And what looks like a catch is a catch, and what looks like an interception.
They tried. They got rid of it for about 6 years. It came back. There's no way they'll get rid of it for good now.
I didn't say would they. I'm just talking to you about the world I would prefer to live in. But I think if you asked me the question, what was it? My answer is it's impossible to tell for one simple reason. How long must you survive the ground? What kind of dumb question is that? No, literally, how many seconds or tenths of a second? Well, that's, you can't define it in tenths of a second. Oh, yeah? Well, then you're never going to know for sure. I believe that Cook survived the ground for a half a second, about half a rollover. Knee, butt, back, half roll, then it got swiped from him. And so the rule is you got to survive contact with the ground. The rule isn't got to survive contact with the ground and then survive somebody stealing from you while making a third step in a football-related move. That's what it's become now. And the worst part about this call is that there are other similar calls that were ruled totally different, including one that went in the Bills' favor from Khalil Shakir earlier in the year, including one on a batted ball to Aaron Rodgers in a Pittsburgh game where Rodgers got swarmed and he went down and then he lost the ball while going down. And they claimed, well, he had it for a second while his knee was down, making him down. Of course, he's a quarterback catching a batted ball, not a wide receiver. And then the worst is last year. Do you remember the Cole Bishop, Xavier Worthy play from just last year that fucked the Bills?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I'm going to show it to you here to remind everybody what it was, because it was truly the same play, although it was even worse because in that case, the ball hit the ground. So I remember after that play in the AFC Championship game, we're analyzing it, I'm analyzing it, looking at all these gloves, red gloves, white gloves, whose gloves belong to whose, and did the ball hit, and was it maybe PI or anything else like that? Well, here's Cleet Blakeman with the call. Hold on a second. Let me share. Oh, yeah, I am sharing the video with you right now. Here we go.
Field stands as called. Is a Kansas City catch? First down and goal.
Oh, Tony, I know you're not going to agree with this one.
Seconds on the same clock.
Yeah.
Here, the white gloves.
has to have possession of that. So right there, he doesn't get the left, and that ball hits. And I could see it. You can't completely say no, but that ball hits pretty – I don't know if you have possession for it, Gene.
The other thing you're saying is Worthy's pinning it there. Now when it comes down and it makes contact with the ground, does the ball move enough to say that that caused
– I mean, that went against the Bills just last year with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. You can understand why they're pissed, right?
Yeah, I understand, but you also can't turn the ball over five times and expect to win.
All right, you don't understand. You're just reverting to being a dad.
I understand. Look, saying, I get
you know
it.
What? But you turn the ball over so much.
Here's what football has become. We're all Zapruder film analysts. That's what we do. That's part of watching the game. Ooh, it might have moved a quarter of a centimeter. Was his full knee in? I don't know. Ooh, yeah. Maybe he got part of the shin in. That's the last 30 years of watching football. It was never like that before. Like, you just, you know, were outraged about a call and nothing you could do about it. So
the other end of this is I can't remember an NFL game where both teams walked out of the stadium devastated at the result, because the Broncos devastated by the Bo Nix injury that was masterfully hidden by him on one more pass he needed to make, a lobbing pass that produced the final PI, and then the game-winning field goal. And nobody knew about it until literally Sean Payton went back to the media and had the following statement. I'm going to play it for us right now. Hold on a second. Where did it go? There we go. All right.
I wanted to come back. I love you guys so much. I wanted to come back. Not good news. On the second to last play in overtime, Bo fractured a bone in his right ankle. He's scheduled to have surgery Tuesday of this week, which will put him out for the rest of the season. Steady's ready to go. And it was, it was the second to last play before he threw the pass to Mims. Birmingham is where he'll have the surgery with Dr. Waltrip. And I don't really think there's any other questions. You know, in other words, this is just is what it is. And you felt like it'd be best to just tell everyone now.
Man, that's some tough stuff right there. You can hear in his voice just how devastated he is, both for Nix and for his team and everything else. Look, I hate Sean Payton, and I want bad things to happen to him, Andy. I don't want this to happen to him. Would never
look
to this degree, but that was pretty classy by Sean Payton.
Yeah, it was. Look, I've been saying this a long time. We're going to have a Super Bowl with two backup quarterbacks. I don't know
have
if it's going to
really?
Happen.
Have you been saying that?
Often, yes, I say that. We're going to have
Imagine a Stidham Drew Lock Super Bowl, because people are already penciling in Seattle and then saying, what if this mystery oblique flares up again on Sam Darnold? It's Drew Lock, Jared Stidham.
It could happen, and there's nothing, and the league is going to go to 18 games, which is going to make it even more likely. And now you have this extra round of playoffs. So
playoffs.
Yeah, you know, that's and actually, if Drew Brees was on one of these talk shows recently, he said his right arm is so worn down from the surgery and playing 20 years, he can't even throw a football with his right hand anymore. But if he could, he would get a call.
You think?
Sean Payton's guy. They won a Super Bowl.
He's
been together.
Way out of the league though for a while.
He hasn't been out as long as Rivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, it might have been the same year, because his last game he lost to Brady and the Bucks in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah.
And so same year. So he looks like he's in better shape than old Humpty Dumpty who came back for the Colts.
The other joke was, what if Brady? Could you get Brady? And the answer is no, because he's a team owner, so he's prohibited.
He'd have to divest himself. He'd have to, and he's supposed to call a game next week too.
Right, exactly.
But that's where we are. And the quarterback is the most important position.
Do you think that Brady, if pressed into service, could win that game? Because I do.
Yes.
I wouldn't bet on it, but I wouldn't bet against it.
Yeah, I think he could, and he's pretty much said that. He's pretty much said that if it came down to a playoff run, he could do it. He said he didn't think he could gear himself up for a 17-game schedule, but he said for a playoff run, he could do it. And I don't doubt it. What we saw from Rivers was not embarrassing for a guy who was not in shape.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, Bo Nix and Jared Stidham go way back, by the way. There's a photo of the two of them at Auburn when Stidham was there as the quarterback. Bo was there on a recruiting visit. Didn't really need to recruit him. His dad was a legend at Auburn, so he's destined to be War Eagle. But the two of them do go way back. And Sean Payton, said Stiddy's going to be ready to go. He's like, watch out. You watch. He's going to be ready. And I wouldn't doubt that he might have one game in him where he's pretty good. The odds are not great, though. Here's your stat, by the way, of quarterbacks since 1950 to make their first start of the year in the playoffs. They're 1-7 in those games. The only winner, do you know who the only winner was?
I don't know.
The ultimate Terrapin, ultimate backup for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, Frank Reich.
Reich. He's
Is that the comeback? Yeah, the comeback game against Houston that he had. Right?
I don't know if that was the year, but he was in the wild card 92.
Well, the other stat was this will be the first quarterback to make his first start of the year in the NFC Championship game since Roger Staubach. But that was extenuating circumstances. It was against the Redskins. And Staubach had been hurt in the preseason, hurt his shoulder. Craig Morton quarterback the whole year. They go into a playoff game with San Francisco, fall way behind. Staubach comes off the bench, leads one of his miracle comebacks. And so he's the starting quarterback the following week in Washington. Morton was benched. He wasn't hurt. And it's Roger freaking Staubach who won the Heisman and was the Super Bowl MVP the year before. So it's a little bit different than Jared Stidham starting in this game.
What do you think it's like to be a Bills fan, honestly?
It is. I think you sort of revel in it after a while. Like you kind of understand this is your lot in life, that you get to a certain point and then it comes crashing down on you. I think it's not a working class town.
Not just four straight Super Bowl losses. Not just having a notorious double murderer as your all-time leading rusher, but now you've got this current run. And I'm going to give you some numbers here about the Bills. The Bills are the dynasty that never was in the 2020s. Their point differential is number one since 2020 in the five full seasons. It is 902, their point differential in the positive. Number two is Baltimore at 581. So Buffalo is almost double point differential on opponents than the number two team. Their win-loss percentage is 730. That's number one since 2020. And then you got this stat. I don't know how somebody researched this, but the number of Super Bowls won while making the divisional round six or more consecutive seasons, which the Bills have. The Steelers are number one. They won four Super Bowls when they went to six straight from 72 to 79. The Cowboys, Patriots, and Chiefs won three. The Cowboys, Raiders, Cowboys, Niners in separate runs all won at least one in six appearances. The Bills have gone six straight times to the divisional round and struck out all six times twice. From 88 to 93, and now again from 2020 to 2025, joining the poor Vikings and the Rams as the only teams to go 0-6.
I would say this about the Steelers. One time you only had to win. No, I guess they had to win a playoff game and then the championship game, but it was two games to get to the Super Bowl. Now it becomes three. So, there's that.
It's two games now if you got the one seed.
Yeah, that's true.
There's that. Also, the Bills in the last five playoffs. You ready? 2026 blew a fourth quarter lead at Denver. 2025 blew a fourth quarter lead at Kansas City. 2024 blew a fourth quarter lead against Kansas City. 2023 blown out by Cincy at home. 2022 blew a fourth quarter lead at Kansas City. I think it's a little bit late now because a couple coaches have been hired, but you got to get rid of McDermott after this, don't you?
You do, or some of it you have to put it at the feet of Allen, who continues to turn the ball over in key situations. You can't do that.
He's not without blame. He played a style that is not just it's not just bordering on reckless. It's over the border reckless. And at times you go, bro, this is going to lose games playing like this.
Right.
Super
right.
nice guy. Everyone likes him. I do think if there was a, what I call a 3-year expansion draft, meaning pretend every team lost all rights to their players and you shook the draft lottery up in a bag, pulled out teams. And
then, he'd be two.
And then say, hold on. And then said you get whatever player you want for the next 3 years. So it's accounting for you're not taking a quarterback who's 22 and good, hoping for 10 more years, like, say, Drake May. Just 3 years. I believe that Josh Allen is the 1/1 in a 3-year expansion draft. What do you think?
Over Mahomes?
Yes. Yes.
Really? Okay.
Well, yes. I think currently, because Josh Allen, while reckless, is such a threat running, and he has the best kind of ability, which is availability. He's like never fucking hurt. He's built like a tank, right?
Yeah, no, it's good points, but it's just like, it just seems like Mahomes always makes the clutch play, and Josh Allen is always the one with the key turnover to kill their chances.
All right. College football championship is tonight, as people listen to this on a Monday morning. Happy Martin Luther King Day. The NFL will have played 10 NFL games in the playoffs between the last college football games and now. 10. 6 and then 4. To say that college football seems like an afterthought at this point is an understatement. Will they fix this schedule? It doesn't look like it. Did you see what the date is already on the calendar for next year's national championship game?
No, what's the date?
January 25th.
Yeah, well, they're going to go to
backwards. You're going the wrong way. I'm like John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
They're going to go to 16. There's even talk of 24 teams. They got to cram this in. Now you got the president demanding that the Army Navy game stand alone. That's going to be an interesting part of all this.
I've been dying for one thing. You, Andy, can get behind that Trump wants to do. This has to be it, right? Wouldn't you agree that this would be a good thing protecting that game?
I'm in favor of it.
Okay.
But the issue is this. The NFL is just like they're sprawling all over the place. They're throwing their clothes everywhere. And they're saying, oh, yeah, you can find a place to sit down over there. Like, you know, I watched Maryland played a league game, a Big Ten game. At noon, they had to play the game at noon because they had to get out of the way for the NFL.
Yeah.
And it was bad teams and they're bad, but it was like nobody there. And that's where the other sports are right now, including college football, is there's just no place to sit down. There's just NFL is just taking over everything. And I don't know how they're going to cram in all these games and get people interested. And yes, this won't be a letdown for me because I'm invested in Indiana and all that, and it's a great story. But for most of the country who just watched 4 football games over 2 days, is like, oh, okay, another night. You know, I don't know. It's not going to stand up.
All right. Lastly, there's this for you, Andy. Ed Cooley, who already served a suspension as Georgetown's men's basketball coach for, quote, inadvertently, unquote, throwing a bottle that hit a kid. A water bottle that hit a kid right in the face, courtside in frustration, had this to say after a close comeback loss to UConn, the third-ranked team in the country, 64-62, your final. Take a listen.
It's a lot worse happening than Georgetown losing a basketball game around the world, around our city, around our community. I'm not trying to deflect anything. My appreciation and gratitude to have an attempt to coach these young men to be better at what we do is an unbelievable honor. Unbelievable honor. Yeah, we lost. Folks, we're this, we're that. You know what we are? We're blessed. We're blessed to be 9-9. We're blessed to be 1-6.
Yeah, could have been a lot worse. You're right. It could have been one worse, meaning you could be 0-7. What a tone deaf and very hack comment by a coach who's under fire.
He's right about that in the grand scheme of everything. Well, he's 100% right.
That could buy any day, any month, any year of the world, there's bigger things going on. By definition, sports is always the smallest thing going on.
Exactly. But the point is, in the context of what you're having this news conference for, that this was a loss, which dropped your team to 1-6 in the league. You are in the Big East, where all the money goes to basketball, right. Unlike the other conferences, which have football.
He just had Kevin Willard basically take a dump on Maryland so he could hop over to Villanova and get more money. So they're paying you $7 million a year not to do this Pollyanna crap like, oh, you know, there's just a basketball game and the world has problems. No, that's not your job. Your job is to win basketball games, and you're to discuss with the media why you lost this last game. It's not to give you a global picture of how it's so unimportant in the grand scheme of things.
Do you know what Ed Cooley's making per year?
About $7 million a year.
Of course he's blessed.
Yeah, right. And the players are blessed too. They're making money too.
This was the perfect coach's version bookend to wrong place, wrong time, bro, to the woman in Jacksonville who was consoling Liam Cohen. Yeah. Much like I understand where she was coming from, and I understand that Cooley's trying to have some perspective. Not here. This is not it, brother.
No, I find his much more egregious than hers.
Oh, because he should know better, because he's a coach.
Well, it's his job.
He's getting paid $7 million, for God's sakes. Yeah. Will Georgetown ever be good again, Andy? Please tell me they will.
I don't know. I mean, the problem is they play in a pro arena, which seats 20,000 people, and they're drawing 4,000 a game. I don't know. They have to be really good to get people interested.
All right. 0-0 Rams, Bears. Rams are driving at the goal doorstep. I'll let you go, Andy. Thank you as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, Dave. Take care.
That's it for me. Thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow's special guest, special announcement here on the Zabecast. If you would like to subscribe and skip all these crass commercial messages that help pay for this podcast, then just sign up at zabe.com/premium. I appreciate it. Mere $5 a month. It has never raised price since I started this thing 7 years ago. I don't ever anticipate doing so. I appreciate everyone's support. And of course, with that $5, you get the Friday edition of me, Scott, and Solly, which is something I know that you love and look forward to. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend or two. Rate and review to tickle the algorithmic overlords. Have a great Martin Luther King Monday, and we will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.